Hey everyone, thank you so much for stopping by the Gary V Audio Experience once again. I'm Jacob from Team Gary, and today's episode is part two of the 4D session we posted yesterday. So if you haven't watched or listened to yesterday's 4D session, make sure you watch that one before this one to gain all the context. We hope you enjoy this episode. It's just as great as the first one. Let us know your thoughts. Make sure to tweet Gary, join the Discord, leave us a review, and enjoy the episode.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
So Facebook fan page number one, YouTube Shorts number two, TikTok number three. Okay. You must dominate those three arbitrages.
Yeah. How many pieces of content, like a day, would you say?
Ideal, four per platform.
Per platform, so yeah. 12-ish.
On those, and then there's Twitter and Instagram and regular YouTube and LinkedIn.
So I can do content creation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love doing.
And content creation is more about post-production than actually your time. Well, it really is.
If I've got, which again, I'm working purposely to make sure that I've got those moments, those times where you can take pieces and throw them out later on.
That's right.
Like you talked about it, right?
100%.
Same clothes every time.
That's right.
Right? And so the last little one, which it may not be that little, but I don't think it's huge, is it's been on my mind for at least 3 years now. And listening to you talk a lot about the culture, the social consciousness of a company, I feel like I have to do this. Like this is like keep me up at night, but I'm afraid of the resources it's gonna take. Is I've been trying for 3 years in my head to create something called Embracing Our Warriors, where too many PTSD, injured, hurt vets come back and the VA doesn't take care of them. They deserve a smile. They deserve to feel good when they look in the mirror. And I've been talking to the VA, I've been talking to the nonprofit folks about developing, because I've got the sponsors or companies to create ortho brands. Yeah. I've got the doctors all over the country.
That's right.
To be able to develop this nonprofit where a vet can be vetted, like legit, like they're a disabled vet, and them and their family can find a doc that we hook them up with who will get free product from a company.
So just crawl.
Just get it started. Yeah, I mean, it's
you know, hard. When you're winning in one part, it makes a lot of sense because you're playing at this scale over here that it feels natural to get this thing over here to be at that same scale immediately. Right. And I think, you know, the resources is a real thing. But I think what you do is you just decide today that you're going to do it for 25 people. You're going to alpha test it out with a brand or brands. With a couple of doctors, or when you get the applicants, you'll just bubblegum and tape it one by one. You'll call Ronnie or Sally and be like, this guy's in Minnesota, will you do, like, you right. Just alpha it.
I got the contacts, just hey.
Yeah, because what you're trying to do rightfully, I get it, you're trying to come from here and push it down. Like, here's the platform, this is what we do, and then you're boiling the ocean, and this is what you get into this moment. Instead, do it behind the scenes as bubblegum and tape, get the taste of it, and then scale it.
Right on. Yeah, I can do it from within.
It's the biggest reason content doesn't work. I alluded to it when I was talking about a show can just be clicked. But everybody's biggest mistake is they try to make it too big and it's all in their head and they never do anything. It just go this way.
Yeah.
Just start doing.
Best way to do it is when you call 25 of my friends, tell them to post in their communities. Hey, anybody know anybody
that's right.
Needs? And then I connect them to the sponsors and get it done.
You've got a big enough platform that you just say, here's the Google form. You make one Google form, you make one video, you send people, and then you see what state they're in, and then you reach out to the people.
Yeah.
You are traffic control, because then you're more in control.
Great idea. Thanks.
You got it.
So here's
the big one.
And I brought this one legitimately to dozens. I work with a guy named Todd Brown, who's a really brilliant guy, helped us a lot.
It's awesome.
I don't know if you know Todd or heard of him, but he's an amazing guy.
That's awesome.
Offers.
That's good.
Nobody can solve this. So I've got a group called Orthopreneurs RD. Regional dominance, stupid name, I made it 5 years ago. But nonetheless, it's a group of about 195 docs.
Google and Nike are stupid names. Why are they not?
Yeah.
Names are just proxies. Names are made.
So
Gary V with two silent E's is a stupid name on the record. Two silent E's is a bad idea.
Like, Glenn has a silent N. I get it.
Go ahead.
So it's a great group of about 196 docs. They call themselves a tribe. It's a yearly recurring fee that they pay. We do webinars, we do in-person events, we do lux trips to Anguilla or wherever. We just like, it's a tribe. These people love each other.
Like, And this is your business?
Yeah, it's one of our businesses.
It's really
wonderful because the people in there become friends, we know each other.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
It's really beautiful.
We also have to get to a place in society where like, we will break as we keep going to the extremes. Like, it's all about the money. Like, you're running a business. It's not like you want it to be, like, everything's about the money.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I don't understand, like, what, like, I, you know, that's when we get to, you know, listen, far right, far left, like, it's all, look at it from the outside. Like, if human, you're not forcing anybody to pay $10,000 for it. Plenty of those people have, you know, absolutely made money because they've spent $10,000. That was their objective. As long as you're not being deceitful or making promises you don't deliver on, my biggest problem with college is that I think it's deceitful.
Yeah.
That if you do this, your life will be better. That's my problem. My problem is the society is, this is bad, it's about the money. What about the thing that's about the money? Like, look under the hood, like, you can't declare bankruptcy from college. Right. That's a problem. Yeah. You could be a scam artist and clear your, through bankruptcy, but you can't if you have college debt. That's a problem. That's a deceit.
Yeah, I get out all the time and say the big
look, and by the way, you might even see this in my content. I'm on the record not liking masterminds. On the record, I don't like it. But I don't get to judge, and I get to do what's right for me. And more importantly, what I've learned and watched is there's a million variations of everything. I don't love big pharma. Are there people in big pharma that are good people? Of course there are. Like, it's all so nuanced.
Yeah.
But I think to answer your business question, it's the price.
And I get on my soapbox all the time and say every orthodontic program in the United States is associated with some school that has a business program.
100%.
That can teach them business 101, and until they do that, I'm gonna make sure I fill that void.
100%.
So,
you got about 2 minutes if you wanna get
there. And ask them about the.
Yeah, you can do both if you can go fast.
I'll go fast, and I'll make sure I'll run over 5 minutes for these guys. We'll get it.
Appreciate it, thank you. Again, 4 years I've had a product on my mind.
Go ahead.
I can't let it go.
Go.
I got an ADHD boy who's on the spectrum.
Yep.
ADHD kids grow thin.
Yep.
And parents don't wanna put them on meds, so a lot of these kids get treated. I spoke to a guy who, you remember Aaron from FitAid?
Aaron from FitAid.
He was here with me in the 4D, FitAid, I think his name was.
Show me his picture, I want to see it. Go ahead.
So he put me in touch with He put me in touch with his chemist, drink chemist,
okay,
who I spoke to 4 years ago, and I followed up 3 years ago, and again last year. For not a lot of money, he can develop for me naturopathic, homeopathic drink about this big in flavors that kids would drink that has sort of biomimetic properties to a lot of these drugs that people are being put on, but with 15 to 20 grams of protein in it. So you give a kid something like that in the morning, you put one in their lunchbox, a little bit of a boost, and then at night there's a third one that you give them that's like a melatonin, brings them down, because that's a second problem with these kids. And no product like it exists on the market. It's something that parents would embrace before jumping on medicine. And he says, for a very reasonable fee, like reasonable, he can develop it, test it, make sure it's safe, get it to the point where I'm ready with 6 SKUs. Vanilla chocolates, call it.
So what's the question?
Well, the question was, like we were talking about last night, number one, what are your thoughts on it? Number two, I don't know the drink business, so I need help.
Couple things. Drink business is the hardest.
I remember you telling that to Aaron 5 years ago.
Super hard. Number two, intuition.
Yeah.
If it's been sitting around this long, you might want to put this into a category of not business, but into the category of nonprofit. So listening to what you just said and your personal situation, you may want to put this in the same category that the reason you're gonna put up the several hundred thousand to get it made for the reasonable number is because you just want to scratch that itch to bring value to the kids around the world of that.
Yeah.
You might not even be the person that's capable of building the drinks business, but you might be the person that funds the start of it, and that might scratch the itch for yourself, and I think that you should see that through.
And that was the question I asked Joe last night. I don't know if you have any resources or anybody.
I definitely do. I'll definitely, but yes, that's actually the easy part.
Right.
The part that you have to decide is perspective. I think you should put this into a nonprofit part of your soul, not a for-profit part, then you'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm okay if this doesn't make money.
So then
it would be great long-term if it did.
I'm gonna say it again. So then just do it.
Yeah.
Like literally call them tomorrow and say, make it. Where do I send the money?
But like, I'm making, but I have no idea about, like, there's so many unanswered questions.
That's fine.
I don't have
that's
to
fine.
With.
That will, I'll get you some people
I'll make
to
that
meet
call
with.
This afternoon.
But you should do that because I have a funny feeling it'll make you happy.
Oh, super happy.
That's it.
Okay.
You could make it and put it into a non, a trust of that's, like, you could create Coca-Cola's formula and give it to the world. You could.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You just want to see this in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So then put it into the world. It's funny, the reason I'm giving you such a passionate answer is I'm about to stand up my family foundation to give. And why, and I've struggled with it for a long time and I finally realized it's because I don't like the way that people give. They give for optics. They give to say, get press and say they're a good person. I'm such a weird giver. The person that's probably gonna run it has at one knows a lot of how I give. Like I like to give when like somebody's house burnt down that is like a cousin of my friend. Like I've been going through all this legal stuff the last 6 months because the way I want to give is so weird. It's not about like the American health, you know, like it's like John broke his leg on a mountain and that's like all, I mean, that's how I like to give. I like to give that it needs to be like somewhere in my sphere. Like I look at some stuff and I'm like, the last 5 years I'm like, I'm giving to Pencils of Promise, which makes me so happy, building, but I'm like, but I have like friends of friends who are like in trouble and like, yeah, like I don't have a system for it. And so like I'm breaking it. I'm like, I think I'm creating a giving concept that might become very popular because I have a feeling a lot of people are like that. Like you're just writing a $100,000, like if you get to wealth and you want to be good and like you write $100,000 and that's good too, but fuck, you like know you went to high school with that person. And you know them, and like their wife is diagnosed with cancer, and there's a problem, and like you can help, like the go more like a GoFundMe DNA, right? GoFundMe. But like I want something that's even more like. So anyway, nonetheless, I'm giving you an answer of something I'm doing right now.
Yeah,
but like you just want to do it.
I'll call them this afternoon.
Exactly, and of course we will do that. But it's just good to get it done.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
What if you just
fall on its face? I don't care.
If nothing else, I can have you give it to PepsiCo, and they can make it at scale. You could. So anyway.
Yeah, cool, I appreciate it.
Jordan. Men.
Well, I think we're gonna do Jordan.
Oh, sorry.
It's fine.
It's good. Like no, well, I'll make it work on the back end, don't worry,
right.
Go ahead.
I'll make it super quick.
Please.
Just moved out here for an internship, I'm 22. Still not quite sure what my end goal is. I get asked, what's your 5-year goal? I wanna figure out my
not
end goal.
Not by me.
Clearly.
Yes, by you.
I don't give a crap, we'll just have 70 more years.
I guess my question is, if you were in knowing what you know now, what would you say to your 22-year-old self? Because I've been throwing some darts, trying to see which one sticks, but I'd just love to hear from you. What do you think?
If I gave you the actual answer, it's so complicated because at 22, the only thing I wanted to do was build my family's business for them. And I was kind of like, the talks I was having were weird, which is like, you're gonna give up the best years of your life for your parents because they did it for you. And like, I had like this altruistic, like noble, like family immigrant vision and I was psychotic about it. Like literally did not, like actively tell people like I went to, everything is best in balance. Like it would have been okay if I went to the Jersey Shore once in my 20s. It would have been okay, but I didn't. That's how psychotic I was. I think, but the reason I'm so happy is because I'm gonna give you the answer of what ties that together, which is the only thing you should be thinking about is if everything was perfect, like as if I was a genie from the future and can grant your actual wish, you have to try to make that actually happen. Meaning, even if you've never said to your dad, only to yourself, not even your best friend, like if you've said to your own self that I want to be an actress or I wanna be a doctor or I wanna be a Supreme Court justice or an entrepreneur, whatever that is, whatever it actually is, that's what 22 to 30 is about. It's all high risk. It's the biggest fucking falsity that has been sold to kids. Now you've got to actually know what the fuck you're doing. As if. You're actually in the best position ever to execute something that's not practical. You don't need a lot of money to live. You can live with 40 of your fucking friends, let alone 3. You could. You can eat like shit in your 20s, so you can buy dollar food, and like you can just, you don't have kids, you don't have, you are in the most practical place from 22 to 30 to do crazy ass shit, but the world has taught kids that that's the time you're supposed to have it figured out. It's insane. So my advice to you is, whatever your biggest single dreams are, that you've kept to yourself, have been scared to even think you could, you've got to challenge yourself to try. And that looks like this. Whatever I just said, if it is Supreme Court justice, it's interning, it's paying a law firm, even though you didn't go to law school, to like be an assistant. Like, people don't understand how life actually works. Like, if you could just get into the game, weird things happen. Right? If it is Hollywood life, like, you need to move to LA and like fucking like work for, like, it's working for free, which comes in all shapes and sizes. Your dad is a successful business person. You might be able to afford to work free, and that's okay. That's like family dynamics. Work for free is also working at Ryan Reynolds worked at Safeway. That's working for free. That's $9 an hour. Like, you know, that's the theory, right? Like, it's zero if you're miraculously in that situation. Most people aren't, some are, it's okay. My kids will be, for example, it's okay. Or minimum wage, but in the thing. Or a shitty job that gives you plenty of hours to be in the thing. I tell a lot of people who wanna be influencers to get like a job at 7-Eleven and just make content all day while they're standing behind the register. Like, you know what I mean? Like, get a job that's not actually making you do anything so that you have time to do the thing.
That's true.
I mean, I don't even want to think what people are doing right now that I'm paying them. So you have to go for your actual dream, the one that scares you the most, because it's the one you want the most, but you haven't even thought you had a chance to do it.
That makes sense.
It actually makes sense. This is why I'm so passionate about it. If not now, when? But the world really fucked everybody up. Like, this concept that you have to, now you went to college and you thus now know what the fuck you want to do. Who? Of course, certain, ironically, orthodontist, doctor, lawyer. Yes, of course there are a small group of professions that the passion and the school and you know. For everybody else, nobody's doing the fucking thing. What?
Exactly.
And that's where everybody is. And you guys know your options. You have so many options because of technology. But the real answer to your question is the dream that you haven't even felt comfortable believing in.
I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
John. And Julian, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, Julian.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No worries.
But I definitely want to say thank you for taking the time.
Happy to do it.
Schedule to meet.
Happy to do it.
This is amazing.
It's fun.
So my name is Julian, founder and CEO of Momento NFT. I've been in crypto since about 2012.
Yeah, your homie has been giving me I got that context.
Yeah, so we help celebrities, influencers, and athletes turn their short form video content into NFTs instantly from their phone.
Got it, so the content is the NFT.
Yes.
And the person that buys that NFT owns the content or does not, and then number two, does it have a utility?
So all three, yeah.
Go ahead.
So they own the content.
Right, so if I am a housewife that's on TV, there's the version of I get paid through Cameo and I make it, hey Sally, happy birthday, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But you're saying if I'm a housewife and I make any piece of content, like reviewing a glass of wine, instead of putting it on Instagram, which is for brand building and awareness, I can put it on this platform, and if one of my fans wants to buy it, they can.
Right. Yep.
Okay. And that gives them the commercial usage rights of it.
So that's what we're working towards.
But you're not there yet.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot to that, which is why I'm poking.
Yeah.
Keep going. So right now, because you're not fully there and you'd like to be there, but you need some clarities of law and a lot of other stuff and sign off. Right now it still sits as a collectible, which is okay. I've spent billions on, not really, but like a lot of money on collectibles. So it's, at this point, it's still a collectible. Plus, if you're able to negotiate with them to put a utility behind it.
So we do have utility.
Yep.
So the template we sort of negotiate with all of mm-hmm. our talent is with a utility. So mm-hmm. we do anything from live streams to
yep.
tickets, passes.
Love it.
Merchandise is
yep.
really huge. That sells really well. And so all that comes together. It's really like, so what I was telling your team last night was there really hasn't been a like huge, phenomenal fandom Web 2 platform. So we're kind of like leapfrogging fandom from traditional meet and greets at the mall to the 1-900 numbers, right, to Web3 now.
It's, I mean, you saw how I structured BeFriends. It's my entire belief of the reason it hasn't happened is the blockchain's technology, as you know, enables this in a way that the internet didn't.
Right.
I fully agree.
It's much more direct. It's around ownership.
Yeah, you just know who owns the asset at all times, and you can't do that on the internet.
Right.
And you can't make a royalty on those transactions.
Yeah.
They, people are very confused about the consumer blockchain. They don't realize that it is enabling certain things that the internet couldn't, the way the internet enabled certain things that the real world couldn't.
Yeah.
Right now everybody's into the greed moment, and we obviously know where we're at right now with NFT pricing and where we are in the crypto moment, but that will be 4 seconds or 4 months or even 4 years, but the inevitable is the inevitable. So what's the question? Because I really understand.
So right now I'm really just hyper-focused on building a brand, right? So
have you been able, in the, when did it launch?
So it launched 3 months ago.
Okay, good. So it, like, you've been in a bear market pretty much the majority. I mean, I'm sure yeah, it was. It didn't seem good at the time, but actually it is. So you don't have the problem of people buying them with the thought that it was going to be worth a lot of money.
So week one and two, yeah.
Got
we
it.
We kind of pivoted.
Yep.
Right, because the idea then was big one of ones. Right, and we sort of pivoted to higher volume, lower price point.
Yeah, well, you should spend 100% of your energy on comms wise and marketing wise and energy wise is utility, with the collectability being a nice to have if it happens. Because then you won't get into what's probably happening with that small group in your Discord now, which is they're mad at you at what the value of the price is.
Yeah, I feel like for us, that is the position, right? Like, yeah. You're a fan of someone, I want a ticket from them, I want a live stream with them. That is what I'm inherent, like, at the base of that.
It is the
and then the collective.
As the CMO, it is your number one job. Yeah. It's my number one job. Yeah. The number one job of the next 36 months is to get everyone to understand everything you guys all thought about with NFTs was always the secondary. You know, the reason I made unlimited, I'm sure you saw it, unlimited videos that 99% of these things are going to zero was because the collectible part was the nice to have sprinkle. It's about the utility, which is why VFriends was 100% VCon for 3 years from day one. My timing was better for collectability, which was bad. I like was anxious all last year. I was like, these things, I don't want them to be $200,000 a piece yet. Maybe in 30 years if I accomplish everything I want. So this is great, but this is what you have to be. You have to be the company that over-educates of like, let us tell you what the blockchain's meant to do. It's meant to have this be, you know, clickable, affirmable. That's the key to it. I just clipped a David Letterman, Bill Gates interview from 1995 that I'm putting out on my social ASAP, and Bill Gates is like, this internet, to Letterman, you know, I listened to a ball game on the internet, and Letterman, the big joke, Letterman's like, have you heard about the radio? And the whole crowd laughs, and that's what's happening now. People are like, well, if they were watching this, right, if we were live streaming right now, all the comments would be like, but you don't need an NFT for that. You can get an email confirmation, or you can use a QR code or a paper ticket. You could, but this technology will enable a lot more things than those things do. Just like the internet did a lot more. You could listen on the radio, but when you listen 5 years later from that clip, I was, because I did so much fantasy baseball, I was listening to games on my laptop and trying to trade players and seeing the visual and, like, you know, there's and that's what you're gonna have to make everyone educated. Sure, you could buy a cameo, but in 9 years, if you still own that little funny Will Ferrell video from our platform, we may say all Will Ferrell owners tonight, 20 of you have dinner with Will, because we can affirm who has it. That's what the technology does.
For us, what we're really trying to like
that
hone into is like those collegiate athletes, those up and coming TikTokers, right? Who knows if 3, 4, 5 years from now they're gonna be like the next big celebrity, and if you bought early, you can see like,
hey, you just need to make sure that you talk, even hearing that sentence from you, make sure you always say you're it's what I, if you look back at how I positioned VFriends, which is why it worked for the people that bought it first. Obviously, then it got so valuable, people bought it at a different price point, which I can't control. But if you look at the early thing, I'm like, I'm pricing this in the way that I see VCon's worth as a 3-year ticket. If there's collectible value, that's added bonus. And that's why that original group was so happy. You gotta make sure that you go that route, because then you'll have a much healthier community and company. You're buying the access, the utility. You also have the collectible as added value. And if God willing, you know, this person goes on to be the most famous actor in the world, maybe there's a collectible about it. You've got to do that, otherwise you will get what you've already got it. I haven't looked and I know.
Yeah.
Because I know the market.
And so one of the biggest problems that I sort of think about, I'm not sure if it's a problem, I guess it's just the nature of the industry, but because we deal with a lot of celebrities, right, we work with their talent managers, so there's a significant amount of sort of pay for play. What are you seeing in the sentiment of, like, not brands, but much more the celebrities themselves wanting to interact with NFTs?
Celebrities are transactional. Celebrities' life, the majority of them, this is why a Rock or a Ryan Reynolds, you know, like, or even like what Reese Witherspoon and like Gwyneth Paltrow, if you look, like, there's just a very small group that thinks non-transactional. And by the way, with respect to everyone, usually you have to get to a level of wealth that allows you to not think transactional. What do I think? They're transactional. I was having a meeting with a very thoughtful individual who's been very successful, and he was talking about, like, we have to do music festivals where the artists finally get taken care of. I'm like, they did get taken care of. They got paid $8 million to play that set and then they left. They were more than welcome to take $2 million and get a piece of the gate. Celebrities are transactional. Everything they think about is, how do I make the most out of this one moment, which is why they've had such a tough time in NFT land. They're not there for the long game. It's why I get, like, a lot of misjudgment, because too many people think I'm celebrity. I'm like, I'm not. I'm businessman. I'm building this thing. Like, you know, like, it's, I think you're gonna have a massive challenge with anybody who's even got a half a level of fame. They're only thinking about the short-term bag.
Yeah.
They're not thinking about anything else. That's their business. They rent out their fame at the moment of the fame. I don't blame them. I don't think you're going after Pee Wee Herman. But guess what? 15 years ago, he could have gotten 500. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the game. That's the business they're in. They're in the business of, like, when I'm the most famous, I need to take as much off the table as possible. Unless they have an entrepreneurial part, then they can get more thoughtful. Let me build a brand. But most of them don't, which is fine and normal. Like, most people aren't entrepreneurs. So that's different than emerging TikTok players. And, you know, and that crew is seeing the world differently. They all think they're entrepreneurs. And a lot of them are willing to negotiate differently. I think what you need to do is not waste your time convincing. What I would do if I was your third partner, I would say, here's our offer. It's sharp as fuck. This is it. And if they start hemming and hawing, we're like, this is the only thing we can do. And we just take who says yes. And instead of wasting our time with UTA or CAA or this celebrity or whomever, trying to spend all that energy of going into these people, let's just take who comes to us, and over time, more people will come to us. That's the biggest mistake people make. The biggest mistake people make when they are doing business with people that make the call is they spend time trying to convince. The number one reason I think I build massive scale is I have zero interest in convincing anyone. I've shut down 3 minutes into a business pitch.
I remember we walked out of the Asia.
I don't want to be rude. I say, you know, it's been weird as I've gotten more popular. I'm even more conscious that I don't want to be rude, because I don't want to think anybody that I'm big timing you. I'll sit through the meeting, but my brain shut off 3 minutes in when I'm like, they're out. Because I have nothing in me, and not because I've been, even when I was a kid trying to sell wine, if someone's out, they're out. That energy for me to try to get them in is not interesting. I'd rather take that energy and build leverage with someone else or do the thing that will make them in. Convincing is the worst game in the world, and it's the game the majority of people in business play.
And by the way.
Cool, right?
Yeah, man, and he convinces regret.
By the way, we do have a third person spot if you...
I wish I had time for shit. I'm so... And as you can imagine, I'm actually in a really shitty spot in NFT land. I'm scared to buy anything. Okay. I'm in such a place in NFT land where people, like, see me buy one piece and they're like, Gary, you have to drive this project, make me money. I'm like, fuck you. I bought a little thing. I just wanted to look at it. I'm not the fucking CEO of, like, you know, like, I'm in a shit spot. I'm in a very shit spot, which sucks. Like... you know, it was funny, I was really into sports cards. I am really into sports cards. Next week I'm going to Atlantic City for the sports card convention. But, you know, people started like making up shit about me. Like he bought all these, like, and I was like, this sucks, which is why the NFT thing was like amazing. I'm like, oh my God, I could do my collectible thing and it's all transparent. Everybody will see that I don't pump and dump, that I buy and I hold, right? And that's been great. That has worked for me. They can see everything I've done. That's been huge. But then a different bad thing happened. You know, like now it's like if I buy anything, I'm like responsible, which is like insane because everyone's in greed mode, which is what you're feeling with the people. Like they didn't buy it because they believe in you, or that they bought it because they thought they were going to buy it and flip it. You need to make sure that you take all that math out of your mouth, excuse me. Just make it about, this is about the utility with the potential. It's utility with a hint of collectability.
So just two more things. So we definitely are trying to engage the creator economy.
Yeah.
Right? So 80% we anticipate are gonna be creators,
yeah.
Gen Z.
Yep.
And then 20% sort of the
yeah,
celebrity.
Makes sense. Hire somebody at like back to ironically, one of the biggest dreams of a lot of 18 to 22 year olds is to play in creator land. Like, you know, you're just living this, so you know this to be true. Almost all of them, from 15 to 22, either want to be the celebrity on social or be in it. Manager, supporter, PR. So your ability to hire at minimum wage of like really talented 18 to 25 year olds, because their job is gonna be to DM creators on TikTok and get, like, that's like, I would scale the fuck out of that. And by the way, in America, it's minimum wages. Like, I'm looking a lot at LATAM. Like, back to the way I want to give. I had another big breakthrough on this theory of like, I don't want to give to, not that I don't want to give to the American Heart Association, but I want to give to, you know, a friend of mine, you know, that has a problem. Similar to how I'm thinking a lot about scaling low cost, scalable jobs. I'd love to, you know, in America. Like, I believe getting a job at Vayner in entry social is like the greatest gift of all time, because if they sit here for 2 or 3 years, they're gonna leverage that for the rest of their career. If we're a penny below market, I'm getting murdered in the press for being like, you're a fucking savage trying to hurt kids. Like, you know, it's very, very, and I'm so socially liberal, so I'm empathetic to it, but it's very hard. And New York laws and LA laws are impossible. Like, it's getting really actually hard, right? So then I'm like, wait a minute, I can pay people in Argentina half, but they'll be rich, like rich in Argentina. And so like, why do I have a bigger emotion to somebody here than, and so like, I'm trying to figure out ways. So back to the point, you could be a good person. It might just not happen to somebody in America. It might happen to somebody in Colombia or somewhere else, and get people that could do this at scale. I mean, you're literally asking people to do robotic work. It's the modern day entry level manufacturer. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's the modern day, like a lot, you know, we now demonize what happened in the 40s and 50s, but it's how a lot of people bought their homes, right? Like they didn't have any other skill and they're like, I can do this task. What's crazy is the kids actually can do a ton of things. They just want to do it for a year or two because it's their favorite thing. They want to DM the people they think are hot or funny or cool, or they get a thrill from it. And all of us would have too. Like if I think back and be like, at 22, I could have worked at the NFL and reached out to football players. I'm like, no, fuck it, I'll pay you. You know, like, you know, so I think that's how you build that. You have to build scale on it, so you have to do that. Because most of them are gonna say no, so you need to DM a billion people.
So Q1 of next year, we're planning on doing, so we're calling it Creator Beast, right? We just want to appeal to YouTubers, TikTokers, people in the creator economy here in the East Coast.
That's cool.
What do you think about like a physical?
I love it. I love physical. I just think that DMing at scale is gonna do more of what you're trying to achieve with the, DMing at scale will give you the width, Creator East will give you the depth.
Like even right now, like on our Instagram, like, you know, it doesn't happen like crazy amounts, but we do get DMs, like if no one's like actually replying to them or looking at this frequently enough, there's missed opportunity there. So like,
you need, every company needs to realize they have to build a triangle, and most don't fast enough. Meaning a triangle organization has a lot more people at the entry level fee to create scale. When you start a company, it's usually like founders, like it's like 2, 3, 4 serious people up here and like one junior person. It needs to be the reverse. It's almost like you need like 4 junior people for every like senior person. And like what a lot of entrepreneurs make a mistake on, they start with you two, and the third person you hire is also 150K, like a dog. She or he is awesome. What you needed to do was hire 4 30s.
Yeah.
because shit needs to get done.